Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
It took a while for the audience here in Kilkenny City to wake up, but they're awake now and they're here. Yeah, good to see you guys. Thanks for coming out this morning. It's we thought it was going to be more of this summer weather. We're getting a bit of a wind here now, so there's a bit of a wind tunnel. So if the we're about to start a review of the business chats from this morning's papers and indeed some of the business stories of the week. So hopefully the papers won't blow away. I'm delighted to welcome to the programme Emer Nivrenon. She's a best-selling author and she's the owner of Emer.ie Communications Company. You're very welcome, Emer.
Gairmeel Maggot, Bobby.
Also joining us is Claire McInerney Brown. She's the president of Kilkenny Chamber of Commerce and she's an export development consultant. You're very welcome, Claire.
Thank you, Bobby. Great to see you here in Kilkenny.
Yeah, I'm delighted to be back. It's as I say, big deja vu for me here this morning. Let's start with the weather. As we said, maybe a bit of a churn in it this morning, ladies, but fears grow in France of a high death from the heat wave. France, indeed Germany, now moving across Central Europe. The temperatures, Emer, they're really getting up there and it really is challenging for lots of countries.
It's very, very serious, Bobby, and stories across the papers about what it's like for people in Paris in particular and just where daily life is really, really difficult for them. They don't have shutters on the apartment windows. They're at very high levels. The heat is crippling. It's now moving into Germany. There was temperatures recorded on the German-French border at over 41 degrees.
Wow.
So things are, the body can't cope with that heat. Bodies are now under stress. Very serious detail in the paper about preparations as they believe, obviously, the death toll will increase.
Okay.
We welcome the breeze here this morning. You mentioned things have cooled down here and that's the good news for us, but elsewhere in Europe much more serious.
Yeah, and we also see that on the second page 3 of the Irish Independent, my home is like a furnace. Irish in Europe telling us they're coping with 40 degrees of weather. What are your thoughts on this story?
It's like Emer, actually, you know, it's very, very serious, actually, when you see countries like France cancelling mass events because they don't want to overwhelm their healthcare system. In the hospitals themselves, the wards are getting up to 40 degrees in temperature. And that's really, really serious for patients, especially people who are very, very, very unwell. The ability to keep that temperature cool for them, you know, the dehydration of patients, you know, it's really leading to an excess mortality that's being seen in France at the moment. And in a 24-hour period in the past week, they've seen five times more deaths than they normally would see in that time frame.
Wow.
So it's very serious, Bobby. We like a little bit of heat here in Ireland. We're only delighted when we see it. But when you reach those temperatures of 40 degrees in Europe, we had 32 degrees in Athenry on Thursday. But the lack of preparedness that we have either here in Ireland or more seriously on the continent, you know, it's really showing with this increased mortality rate.
And Claire, just to remind our listeners that the place that holds the record, it must be said, for the hottest day ever recorded here, about 100 yards over our shoulder there, was in Kilkenny, where I believe it was 33 degrees.
Well, you know how we like to win in Kilkenny, Bobby, so I'm not surprised, you know? Yeah,
there you go. Emer, there's been a lot of talk about the challenges in the hospitality industry. Again, it's an industry I've been very close to over the years. They're about to get the benefits now of a reduction in the VAT rate. It starts on the 1st of July. It's certainly good news for smaller coffee shops, for small food businesses. And I think that maybe many of them who've managed to hang on this long, it will be welcome relief to them. Some criticism about big fast food chains who are very profitable being included in the pot. This is one of the issues with these kind of incentives, that it can be difficult to separate the needs of those who desperately need it versus those who it's nice to have.
That's it. It's the getting the balance right. Sometimes the government uses these blunt instruments. Now, they were under a lot of pressure to do this. And obviously, hospitality is so important. And we're in Kilkenny, where we're surrounded by hotels and cafes, and we want to keep those open. So for those businesses, the VAT rate is due to kick in, the reduction from 13.5 to 9%. But for your listeners, by the way, very unlikely that prices will come down as a result of that VAT reduction. It's just going to ease a little bit of pressure on those businesses, as you say. Some of them are clinging on, and we're seeing it, there was always a churn there. There was always doors opening and doors closing, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But we don't like, I suppose, the fact that we can't differentiate between the small family business and the multinationals that will swoop in, and they're very generic looking. In a gorgeous city like Kilkenny, we want to see more of the independent places. We've great examples of it in Kilkenny, where you have Cake Face, for instance, other businesses in the city that are thriving, but they're not the big chains.
Clara, last year 141 hospitality businesses in Ireland closed. There is a kind of a swathe of cost challenges, be it staff rates of pay, availability of staff, insurance costs. There's a lot of headwinds of costs, and it's very, very hard to make money. Let's be honest about it.
That's the truth, Bobby. And we have actually seen some businesses close in Kilkenny. Thankfully, that hasn't been wholesale. But what we have seen is some businesses that perhaps were in their first or second year of trading. So they probably didn't get traction in the market. Whereas our more established businesses, you know, have their loyal clientele, etc. And so that's heartening. But for a business that's starting up, we have a minimum wage of €14.15 per hour. You know, it's like Eimear was saying, it's a crude instrument when you actually put a blanket rule in place for all sizes of companies in Ireland. And in hospitality, we have businesses that are employing just one, two, three people.
Yeah.
Those companies can't afford to pay as high a minimum wage as, let's say, the multinationals, which we're very, very lucky to have here in Kilkenny also. And so, you know, that disparity, that, you know, a blunt instrument in deciding what your minimum wage is, or in this case as well, what the VAT rate is, it is quite a different animal when you're talking about your local coffee shop to when you're talking about the larger indigenous chains or foreign chains that we have here in the food.
Eimear, just a business story that caught my eye, cryptocurrency. I don't know if you know much about it or if you're a player in such markets, but Binance, big company, they've halted their service to EU customers because they're having difficulty getting an operating license. Not a great history with this company, just reading through some of their legal challenges, etc.
It's not. I'm not usually a fan of regulation, but in this case, actually, I think the regulation is working. So the story is about Binance. As you say, it's the biggest cryptocurrency exchange in the world. They now can't offer their services in the EU from next week because they've lost their license. And that's to do with a couple of reasons why they... Now, they say they're confident they'll secure it in the coming months, but a number of its companies that are based in Ireland, by the way, they were late filing their annual returns and accounts. So this is what has put them in breach of the law. Now, the Binance founder has been in the news quite a lot. If anyone keeps an eye on the business pages, Changpeng Zhao, he spent 4 months in prison in the US before he was pardoned by Donald Trump.
No way.
So a controversial enough figure. And in the US, the company pleaded guilty in 2023 to criminal charges relating to money laundering and breaching international sanctions. So we are seeing a lot more of crypto. You asked me, I don't dabble in crypto. I haven't got much interest in it. But increasingly, ordinary people I know that aren't big financial gurus, they actually are.
Yeah.
And they're using it, we'd say, they're very adept with the tech and with the apps. And it is creeping into everyday life for people.
Yeah. Claire, can I bring you to a story around Lidl, the curious case of Lidl and the pub it promised to replace near as an end? This is their outlet, the former Belgard Inn in Cookstown, was to replace the new pub was to replace the Belgard Inn after demolition in 2018. They've opened a pub up north. Lidl in the pub business, I'm still trying to get my head around it, but tell me more.
Anything can happen in Ireland, Bobby, you know that. So Lidl, when they acquired the property in Belgard, in that area, they actually demolished the Belgard Inn in 2018. And a stipulation of the planning from the South Dublin County Council was actually that they would rebuild a pub on that site. Because it was obviously a focal point for the local area. Now, that hasn't happened. And in 2023, the Belgard Area Residents Association got together, and fair play to them, they petitioned South Dublin County Council, who then put in an enforcement order to Lidl for them to actually build the pub that was promised in the planning. So there is a site allocated. It's being sold at the moment, or at least advertised, for 200,000 for a pub and four apartments to go on that site. And I think this is really where your local community are coming together saying, look, this isn't good enough. We want our local pub back, and fair play to them.
Interesting enough, Eimear, that we got the supermarket, but we didn't get the pub.
That's it. But in the north, you mentioned where they have a pub.
Yeah.
Funny, they called
the Middle Ale,
a nod to our favourite section of the supermarket in Lidl. But fair play to the community. Enforcement's an interesting one. I'll be watching this one, because the amount of enforcement orders that are out there for things that have happened in lots of local authority areas and where conditions like this aren't met and nothing happens. An enforcement order is there, not always followed through. There is a lack sometimes, we'd say, of staff in our local authorities and funding to be able to deal with these enforcements.
Interesting. We'll watch that story, as you say. I'll be watching it as well. We talked about crypto there, and I see that you can actually get crypto on Revolut, and that's our next story. Revolut drops the hammer on hybrid working for graduates. What did you make of this story, Claire? Interesting, they're still able to work from home a couple of days a week, so it's not like they're all being marched back into the office or anything as draconian as that.
Yeah, you know, but at the same time, Bobby, Revolut, you know, it's a more mature company now. In the early days when it was a cool startup, obviously they wanted to attract graduates and interns, and so there was the work from home policy in place at that time. But now they're changing tack because they've grown substantially. They have 13,000 staff. They have a $200 billion valuation, which equates to 173 billion in euro, and they go public in 2028. And so, you know, if you put that in comparison to an Irish company like AIB, who have 10,000 staff and a market cap of 21 billion. You know, you can just see the scale of Revolut, and obviously it trades on international markets. And so, you know, this company has grown substantially. They want to put some rigor into what they do. They're asking their staff to come back into the office 3 days a week, especially for graduates and interns. They need to learn the ropes. They need to learn from the more mature people within the office. But really, it's about being present, finding out what's happening, staying in touch with what's going on, being current. If you're at home, you're not current. You're not with the people where the action is happening.
Sorry, Claire. The hot weather has attracted some people back to the office this week because the aircon obviously is
running.
So there's something to be said for working from the office when most of our homes in Ireland don't have air conditioning.
Yeah, putting our grid under pressure at the same time.
Yeah, and we also saw, did we not, that the Pillar Banks had difficulty with this very same subject. Revolut is much more nimble than them. They're moved quicker. They've so many Irish customers now. And they, more importantly, the younger demographic of a customer. If you talk to any of the kids, Rev me, Dad. There you go. Anybody ever heard that one?
Yeah, I think it should be in the lexicon by now. You know, I'm constantly getting Rev requests from my kids. So
yeah, the pocket money has been delivered. If my 12-year-old is listening, the transfer goes out of Revolut on Saturday mornings.
All right. Well, look, I wanted to conclude with a story that's sort of semi-local. We're in Kilkenny, but we're not so far from another county called Carlow. But like a hurling team, you've got to be on the lookout for young players coming up. Willie Mullins, that great horse trainer from County Carlow. He's a very interesting piece about him today in the Irish Independent. Eimear.
There sure is. He grew up in Gore's Bridge, by the way, so he might... I know Kilkenny claims him, but Carlow does too. I'm a proud Carlow woman, and he's a former... he's a Carlow ambassador in 2023 as well. But the story is about... I'm so delighted for Willie, because anybody who's come across Willie Mullins in business life or community life in this area will tell you he is an absolute gentleman. So he's got his RDS Honorary Life membership. He's also a great employer. He has over 100 people working for him in his yard in Close Sutton. We get great exposure as well to the industry thanks to him. He parades the horses he brings them to the some of them even have gone for a pint in Loughlin Bridge. They've been seen online popping their heads in the door of bars.
After the big wins in Cheltenham, they bring the horses down into Loughlin Bridge.
They parade them into the Lord Ragnall Inn. And so fantastic for Willie. He's trained more than 4,000 winners. He's shown no signs of slowing down, and he credits a lot of his success to his strong team around him. So behind every good man, Willie has his wife Jackie, his son Patrick, and he's a great fellow with him as well, his assistant trainer David Casey. So there's an interesting line from a business perspective. The Exchequer gets back around €35 for every €1 spent on the industry in Ireland. And it's after keeping, Willie says, the rural heart or country areas alive. And that's huge for us in Carlow Kilkenny, where we've great land for horses and for this kind of business that Willie is in.
Claire, what did you make of Willie Mullins? Again, great local ambassador, brilliant equine man, absolutely brilliant. But it's some business. I know you have the brother George down there running all the haulage, the equine haulage. It's some enterprise. And again, as Emer says, it's in a very, very rural area.
Absolutely. And isn't it such a fantastic success story? I mean, to see Willie Mullins in the royal procession in Royal Ascot just recently, I mean, it's really a testament to his success, having 121 winners in Cheltenham and 5 Gold Cup winners within that. So he's a hugely successful person. I think we can learn a lot from him here in Kilkenny. He talks about having new players on his team. And certainly we can take a note from that in Kilkenny Hurling, you know, with regards to Willie prospecting always to look for new horses, new talent, etc. But the industry on its own is worth 2.46 billion to the Irish Exchequer, has 30,000 jobs, and that's for a spend of only 80 million by the government annually. So it's a huge return for pretty small investment. But, you know, Willie has his sights on great things, and he's got the Melbourne Cup in his sights. That's one that he would like to win.
Right.
Let's hope it's not the one that got away.
Last word to you, Emer.
The line in the paper, Willie scouts for young horses the way that Kilkenny managers look for young hurlers. So he's always on the lookout for the up-and-coming.
Well, we'll
the next
be putting
thing.
That to TJ Reid when he comes in a bit later on. My huge thanks to our business review panel this morning. Emer Brennan, best-selling author. She's given me a copy of The Dodger DJ Carey. Yes, I do appear in it very briefly, but there you go. More of that for another day. And Claire McInerney-Brown, President of Kilkenny Chamber of Commerce, Export Development Consultant. Thank you both for a wonderful review of the business stories and a really nice welcome to Kilkenny.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.